When it comes to launching a business, we talk a lot about having the big idea, the vision. But you know, there's more to it than that. Like setting up your website, your phone number, managing public records, staying on top of compliance. It's the unglamorous stuff that can be a lot to manage. And that is where Northwest Registered Agent can help. You don't just form a business. You start with a complete foundation built for privacy, credibility, and growth. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the U.S. with over 1,500 corporate guides who are real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree.
When I met Snoop for the first time, it was where Cordell is right now. There had to be, what, Cordell, 30 people gathered around. And it's us talking about this concept, this brand, this idea. And I said, that's great, but you're one of the most famous people in the world and you're going to be busy. Am I going to have to work with these 30 people or am I working with you?
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. A few years ago, I had this fascinating conversation with a CEO who had paired up to build a brand with an international celebrity. I will not mention this person's name. And he said, you know, when they first got going and they were trying to raise money, it seemed amazing because every investor wanted to take the meeting with the CEO and, of course, the celebrity. But then they discovered that there's a downside to working with a major celebrity. And that downside is that everyone will take the meeting, even if they're not actually very serious about the company. And so they wasted tons and tons of time with all these meetings with people who were not actually interested. And they had to figure out how, in some way, to get past the appeal of the celebrity in order to find the right partners. And then that kind of translated throughout the entire journey of the business. And ever since, I've just had this thing in my head about how interesting it is to have one of the greatest assets available to any entrepreneur who does not want a known face, a person that everybody knows and trusts attached to your brand. But also, that doesn't mean that it suddenly becomes easy street, that every business problem is solved, that everything is just laid out before you. You still have to execute great strategy, and great strategy as it applies to utilizing that personality. So today, I want to talk to two people who are doing that live with one of the world's most beloved personalities that I am going to name because I've got two guys who are working with them right now. So today, I am talking to Sam Rockwell, CEO of Dr. Bombay, which is Snoop Dogg's ice cream brand, alongside his co-founder, Cordell Broaddus, who is also Snoop's son, and speaking to us from the mothership, which is one of Snoop's recording rooms, or you can explain it better than me, but I can see it, and it looks really cool. Anyway, guys, I am so excited to talk to you about Dr. Bombay. Been in market for 3 years, available at Walmart, 7-Eleven, and I know more to be announced soon about what you've been doing, what you're learning, and how to build a brand with a personality, especially someone as large as Snoop. Sam, Cordell, welcome to Problem Solvers.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us, Jason.
So guys, why don't you take me to the beginning of this, and then we'll dig into the strategy that you and things that you've learned over the past 3 years. But Sam, Cordell, how did this all get started?
Yeah, let me just start off with, you know, this isn't just Snoop slapping his name on a product. This is something that actually started before Snoop. Our great-grandfather in Mississippi, he owned a dairy farm. So growing up, we would hear all these stories about how the family was in ice cream. And my grandfather used to milk the cows early in the morning before he would go do lawn care. In the South, in the 50s at the time, that was unheard of. So fast forward to 2021, we ran across a IP, which was a Bored Ape NFT. And when I purchased the NFT, I was like, this kind of looks similar to Rainbow Sherbet, which is me and my father's favorite flavor. And at the time, we were getting approached to do food and beverage, but all the ideas weren't really sticking. So I sat down with my dad and I was like, let's just start an ice cream brand. That's something that me and you've been bonding over for years. After football practice, we would go to the ice cream shop, me, him, and my brother, and we would eat rainbow sherbet. And just remembering that and all the nostalgic memories that come with the ice cream man and the city of Long Beach and LA, and just how it was so aligned with the culture, it just felt like something that we should do.
And my side of this story and equation was that I've been in the consumer product space for over 16 years. I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm a consumer. And so that's what drew me into the space. And as we got more involved in the space and started to build our infrastructure, we're up against some behemoths, big, old and dusty companies, but strong companies. And our thesis has been that there's white space ripe for disruption in a lot of these legacy categories, ice cream being one of them. 95% of the ice cream space is chocolate, vanilla, caramel, or cookie dough. There hasn't been a lot of innovation and thought behind how do we mix flavors, mix textures, bring some excitement into the space. And there's a lot of hesitation because most of the space is controlled by 2 to 3 big legacy players who we don't need to name them. We know them. And they own 90% of the brands. And so as we built out our infrastructure and got more opportunities and seats at the table with the largest retailers in the world, they would look to us for disruption and innovation and newness and recruiting new customers. The challenge in that is that the big boys will go out and pay for a billboard in Times Square or have an arena named after themselves. As an emerging company and brand, we're scrappy, we're able to adapt to the environment, we're partnership oriented and we're innovative, but we don't have the wallet that these big guys have. And so what we have is the ability to identify the right partners, to build things the right way, to do things differently. And recognizing that, finding the right partner, as Jason, you kind of teed up as a start, is critical in terms of reach and authenticity and voice. But if you find the right partner and you structure the right way, everybody can come together, I think, to not only tell the world about a brand, but to deliver on a product that's truly disruptive and different. In that thesis, through mutual connections and network, I met Cordell and his dad. And the thing that struck me first about them is that they're business-minded and business-oriented. This wasn't an I, me show. This was a we, let's partner together show. And that was the foundational piece of this partnership. And I think why we're here talking to you at year 3 about growth versus, hey, that was a fun run we had.
Yeah. You know, Sam, I want to pick up on what you just said there. Being mindful of the very first thing, Cordell, that you said, which was, this isn't just Snoop slapping his name and face on something. I assume that the reason you say that is because you've come to learn that that's what the marketplace often assumes about celebrity associated brands, because there's so much of it out there, right? And so you want to tell the authentic story. You want to show that this really comes from you. And then I assume that you have to figure out how to constantly communicate that in the marketplace, right? Because otherwise, the second that you're not making the case that this is not just some other thing that Snoop has put his face on, is the second that the consumer maybe takes a extra half a second look at it because they recognize his face, which is right there on the carton and it's fun, but also just thinks like, whatever, like he surely doesn't care about that. So how do you number one, identify the partner and the opportunity that you feel like really can travel in the marketplace? And then number two, how do you tell that story in a way in which the consumer actually believes is authentic?
For us, it was really just, like I said, what fit like a glove. We didn't want no extra space. And ice cream was just something that my father knows very well. If I was to go in his back room right now, you would see all our competitors in his freezer. And we call that market research. Yeah, we call that market research. Yeah. But that's just how he's always thought like that. Even when I was a kid, I remember before school, I would see a bunch of leftover snacks the night before. And the entrepreneurial in me, I would put them in my backpack and sell them at school. So like, it just felt like something that was like natural and authentic. So when we had the chance to really turn this IP of this Bored Ape into an ice cream brand, it just felt like the right thing to do. And then obviously partnering with Happy Foodie, who can really deliver on the operational side. That's another thing. Being a celebrity and having the reach is one thing, but you got to have the right operators who could deliver with your credibility.
So Happy Co is a company that I started 16 years ago. And as I've referenced in that journey, we've developed a number of consumer goods in primarily in the frozen section within a grocery store, club store, convenience store, but also outside with ambient consumer products, products as well. In that journey, though, as I mentioned earlier, you start to recognize who you're playing ball against. And so infrastructure is one thing. Reach, accessibility, brand voice, and authenticity are a whole nother. And that's where Happy learned and realized the ways to not only penetrate the market, but to expand a particular market or to reach a new consumer is to partner with somebody like Snoop and Cordell. And I think a big lesson in that too is, as you've again pointed out, it's not just partnering with Snoop and Cordell because they have reach. It's about defining what a brand stands for, to really infiltrate into culture, to have stickiness, to be here in 100 years from now when, you know, Snoop, Cordell, and Sam are, those were great founders of the brand, but the brand lives on. And that's kind of been a driving force and a conversation that we've had every time we meet, every time we talk, is how does this stick? How do we make this a better experience for the customer, not just today, but also for tomorrow? How does Snoop use what his superpower is to get people to know about this brand, to try this brand? But then how do we use unique flavors, the right availability from a store distribution standpoint, the right cost to get people to want to come back, not just one and done?
Right. Examples, because we haven't given any. You've got a blueberry muffin ice cream. You've got peanut butter jelly time, which for a certain age of internet user immediately conjures peanut butter jelly time. That's just what I thought as soon as I saw it. So yeah, you've got a really interesting combination of flavors there. And I hear you on leaning into this. Let me throw a devil's advocate argument at you, which is you look at the marketplace, and it's whatever the number was that you just gave me. It's primarily the basics, the standards, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and you know that's not exactly for lack of trying. There are lots of brands out there who bring all sorts of wild things to market and either struggle to get traction or it just becomes a nice regional attraction. And maybe somebody might say, hey, that's the market speaking. The market primarily wants plain ice creams. And if you get too crazy outside of Ben and Jerry's, who has happened to pull it off, you're just going to reach a cap in market interest. What do you say to that?
I would say that when it comes to vanilla ice cream, nobody's going to dethrone vanilla ice cream, but there's 50 different offerings when you go into a store for vanilla ice cream. And so how do we create something that is different yet understood and approachable in a form that people haven't seen? So peanut butter and jelly, as an example, is something that most all consumers understand conceptually, but have not seen in the form of being a frozen dessert. And so how do we bring, again, that approachability to a category that is ripe for newness? Mm-hmm. Why? Not taking anything away from vanilla, but we're trying to grow share, not steal share. We want to be incremental to the basket. And I think that's a value that we can not only add to a consumer, but to a retailer too, who's trying to reach new people, who's trying to add to the basket of an average purchase cycle.
Cordell, I'm curious how you and Snoop think about utilizing him to promote the brand, knowing that he's associated with so many other brands. I mean, I've seen Snoop in all sorts of commercials for all sorts of things, and I know that he didn't create all of them, but he's still associated with them. So how do you think about how to engage his fan base with something that is authentic to him, but knowing that he's out there pitching a lot of stuff, and therefore you also don't want to overwhelm the consumer. You don't want to turn him into just an endless pitch man. How do you think about that?
You know, and that's a uphill battle for us because he's so just all over the place. And, you know, we took it upon ourselves to wait 3 years to put him on the packaging. Mm. We wanted to get brand credibility on its own. We wanted Dr. Bombay to be its own name. And obviously, we're still growing and getting the awareness up. But we didn't just put Snoop on the packaging the first round. Like, it took us 3 years to really think about this and understand who we are as a brand so we can accommodate his reach and his popularity around the world. And it just felt like the right time. It was like a culture shift within the company. And we just wanted to kind of like revamp everything. We wanted to focus more on fruit forward flavors. We wanted to focus on putting Snoop on the packaging. And we got a couple other little gems that we're doing where we can really differentiate ourselves and stand out as a hip hop ice cream brand. And when I say that, I mean, like, we want to target the nostalgic community. We want to target those hip hop fans. That's Snoop's core audience. So just pulling from that, I think, is more authentic than us just saying it's ice cream for everybody. It's obviously for everybody, but we want to go after that core demographic of Snoop's fan base. And even beyond that, it's not just America, which is why we strategically launched in Europe. Which is why we're looking at other markets, because Snoop is bigger outside of America than he is there. And we have the data to prove that.
Yeah. And I think to add to the points that Cordell is making is that Snoop is not only the co-founder, but the curator of this brand, which is a big difference between him smiling and saying cheese and, you know, just using his NIL. This is truly a product of his brain, of his creativity.
You know, this makes me curious about something with the positioning of Snoop. If we can just take one step away from ice cream for just a second, because I'm curious for the answer. I can't remember what was happening. We might have seen Snoop on TV somewhere, and I started talking to my wife about this. And I said, you know, Snoop occupies this really interesting, almost completely unique space in American culture right now, where he is widely beloved across category. Far transcends where he originally came, right? Like, you don't have to be a hip hop fan to know who Snoop is and feel good about him. And I really can't think of other players in American culture right now that are doing that across demo. And I just, maybe Cordell, you probably have the answer here, but like, Cordell, was that a conscious thing? Did you and Snoop talk about almost positioning of him as a just beloved all demo person, and or did that just kind of naturally evolve?
I think it starts even before I was born. You know, I'm born in 1997. He was already in the industry for about 5 years. So just my whole upbringing, just seeing the fans in his at his shows and seeing that it was kids, it was grandparents, it was all types of ethnicities. I just always was like, man, why do everybody love you so much? And then, like, just over time, you just see, like, he's kind of like the Black Forrest Gump. He's been in all these different rooms along all these memorable people. And it's kind of crazy to see, like, his journey starting in hip hop to now the Olympics and The Voice and all these places. And it's like, I think he's shocked himself, like, how far he's came. And obviously, as a kid, you want to dream big. But I think it's just truly him being himself. Like, he's not doing things where he's like pretending. Everything you see him on, he's truly himself, whether it's a Corona commercial, whether it's with us at the ice cream convention centers and meetings and whatnot, or just being a sports fan watching the Olympics. He's truly himself. So, you know, I can't take credit for it. And I know, you know, the way he thinks, it's kind of like mind blowing to see how far he's taken his career.
As you're talking, I'm just trying to think, and I'll just spit this out to see how it resonates with either of you. But hearing your answer, Cordell, gave me this little formula that I'm just going to run by you, which is The word I'm looking for is more specific than authentic, because that's such a bandied about word, but let's just go with it. Distinctive. He comes and he embodies a distinct culture and talent, and he never strays from that. He never isn't Snoop. There are a lot of people who are known for being extremely good at the thing they do, but they also seem deeply unapproachable. And there's something about the combination. Maybe it's the way in which he's like playful and funny. He seems to be able to be lighthearted about himself while also taking his like roots and talents very seriously. There's a really interesting combination that's very hard to replicate. I don't know. How does that resonate with either of you?
I think that's, you hit it on the head, and especially you got to give credit to, you know, his upbringing, him growing up in a city like Long Beach, California, which is a melting pot. He grew up around all these different ethnicities. He grew up around all these different walks of life. So he knows how to just blend in with anybody. And I've seen him go up to people and introduce himself. You know, he's very humble when it comes to people he look up to and, you know, people he idolize. It's not like a, you know, I'm better than you type of vibe. It's always been, I'm a student. You know, he's very curious about just life in general. And I've seen him be a student and very open with just all walks of life, whether it's sports, food and beverage, entertainment. You know, he just truly himself.
Yeah.
And I would also add to that is that he doesn't get involved in things that he doesn't believe in. And he's involved. And I think this goes back to the origin of this brand and this company. When I met Snoop for the first time, it was where Cordell is right now, in his studio, Cordell. And there had to be 30 people gathered around. And it's us talking about this concept, this brand, this idea. And I said, that's great, but you're one of the most famous people in the world and you're going to be busy. You're going to be busy. And am I going to have to work with these 30 people or am I working with you? And I said, what do you mean? I said, do you call the shots?
Good on you, by the way, for asking that question in front of these 30 people.
I want to make sure we're in a place to be successful. And honestly, if the answer was, yeah, these are the people you're going to talk to for this, for that, for the other thing, as much as I respect Snoop and I'm a fan of Snoop, I would have maintained my status as a fan, not as a partner. He looked at me and he said, I call my own shots and you call me. Here's my phone number. And after that, he stuck out his hand, as did Cordell, and I shook both of their hands. And the rest is history. Honestly, all the paper and everything like that that goes with it has been beyond exceeded by the people that we partnered with. And I think that, to me, that was one of the biggest, most authentic cues that anybody in business could ever ask for, as far as like differentiating yourself as a celebrity brand, like one celebrity versus another. He knows about our flavors. If you talk to him, he'll tell you about all the flavors. He'll tell you about all the tasting of the flavors. He'll tell you which one he didn't like and why, but why we're in market with it. He's involved in it. This is, you know, really his, you know, Cordell's one of his children, but this is another one of his children.
Yeah. And another thing too, Jason.
Yeah.
We're not afraid to go to those buyer meetings. Like we travel to Bentonville. We travel to Seattle at Costco. We go to the place of business that we want to get into, and we know how to pitch ourselves. It's not a bunch of guys in suits speaking on our behalf. It's the three of us, Sam, myself, and Snoop. And we go down and we go understand who is our competitor. How can we fit in? What is the demographic? What is the data telling us? Like, we very hands-on. So I just want to throw that out there too.
And Jason, you touched on in the beginning, anybody's going to take a meeting when Snoop's showing up. What Cordell and I talk 6 to 7 times a day. And that's at a bare bones minimum, about how we build this business. For everything from the finances of the business to the sales strategy, marketing, you name it. All day, every day conversation. When it comes to meeting with retailers or prospective investors, we get that Snoop's a great lead-in to meet with somebody, but that's not how we start conversations. We start conversations about the merits of the business and the brand. And if they advance to a place where we think that there's a real opportunity to build a partnership. Again, whether it's with a retailer or with a prospective investor, That's when we bring in Snoop. We're protective of his time. And I think as a result, he trusts us that when we say, hey, dog, it's time, he shows up. And then we close the deal.
Yeah. Let me unpack something you just said there, because it connects with some advice that I heard from a friend of mine who used to be a buyer at Target. And he says, founders often make the mistake of walking into a buyer meeting with a retailer and telling the brand story and thinking that the story and the product itself is going to sell it on shelves. And what you have to understand is that you're meeting with a buyer who is, their job is functionally on the line with every single brand that they work with. And so they need to know above anything else, this thing is going to move. Like, this thing is going to move off of shelves. And so a story is wonderful. The product has to be good. But if you don't have the data to show that this product is beloved by this demographic who shops at your retail store, then you don't have a win. And so I want to just hear you unpack that a little bit more, because Sam, that's what I was hearing in that answer. Like, yeah, you can get a meeting with anybody if Snoop's going to show up. That is not a problem. And you can wow everybody. Everyone's going to be thrilled to be in that meeting. And I'm sure everyone is there to take a selfie with Snoop afterwards. But like, that's not necessarily going to sell the product. The thing that's going to sell the product is a lot, it's unsexier, but it's the data.
It's the second purchase that matters the most. That's the key. And like, I think we have a lot of unfair advantages to get the sell in. I think we have even more unfair advantages to get the sell through, which is a difference maker here. And so again, we want to position this as, who are we going after and how can we bring them into a store to buy more than just vanilla? Is this somebody that's already in your store? Is this somebody that you aspire to have come into your store? Because that's a big battle that I think we can help retailers unlock. but to your point, the value of this brand and our partners behind the brand is continual reach. When you build a brand, it's like driving a truck up a hill. If you let go of the gas, you don't stop. You actually go backwards. And so it takes this type of philosophical alignment amongst all partners in the business and all stakeholders, that it's not just, wow, we had a great meeting, high fives, kick back. That's the actual starting line, not the finish line. And I think that Cordell and Snoop and our entire team, which, as much as we talk about Cordell, Snoop, and Sam here, there is a great, this is nothing without the team. Cordell referenced Dr. Maya, ice cream scientist. The literal chemistry behind the ice cream is her expertise. That is the stickiness behind a brand. Our operations team, moving product that if it goes above negative 10 Fahrenheit is no longer ice cream, that's not so easy to do. As an emerging business, managing a balance sheet, which is a tricky thing in the early stages as you're growing, not an easy thing to do. And so, you know, we have, I think, the right pieces in place for this to not just get in, but to stay in.
Guys, this has been so fun. Let me ask you both one final question, which are different versions of the same thing. When I think of the person who's listening to this show, I think of someone who's building something for themselves. And so the reason that they're going to be listening to this, aside from now that they know a great new ice cream, is because they're thinking, how do I build a relationship with a personality, a celebrity, whether it's Snoop or just someone like Snoop, you can make it generic, but like, what is the thing that actually gets somebody like Snoop to be interested in a partnership? And then for Sam, the version of the question is, how do you make that approach? You've built CPG brands. You surely are advising all sorts of founders who are looking for these kinds of partnerships. How do you actually make that approach and make it work? Cordell, why don't you take us inside the mothership to start?
I think for us, what stood out was Sam's ability to just go straight into, are you guys going to be my partner? Am I speaking directly to you? I think having those hard questions and having those hard moments, getting those out the way first, is going to really be able to like identify what kind of relationship you guys are going to have in business. So by him doing that, he kind of broke the wall, and it kind of made us engage more into who he was, into his operational side. And it kind of make you, you know, iron sharpens iron. It made us kind of go a bit harder on the marketing and the creative ideas and how we can be just as good as a partner as he is to us. So I think it's just about matching energies, and everything got to be in alignment. So whether it's, you know, the brand visibility, the brand's vision, or just your morals as a businessman. And we felt like Sam was a dog. We call people who are relentless dogs. So once dog
I still only have
called,
one G though.
Yeah, we gonna work on the other G. But once once my dad was like, yeah, Sam's a dog, that's when I was like, okay, he passed the test and feel like this is gonna be a perfect partnership.
I love that. And it sounds also like a thing you did there, Sam, was you treated him even in that first meeting like you would a business partner. A lot of people would just say whatever they can to get Snoop to say yes. Just what, you know, like whatever softball, whatever tap dance you need to do. But that's not what you did. You actually kind of put it in a way in which you were willing to walk away from this if you weren't seeing what you needed.
Yeah, 100%. Like I started with, I was happy to maintain my status as a Snoop fan, not a Snoop partner. And so the questions that I asked were very, very pointed and directed at, does this have the right components to be a partner? And something that I say all the time when I meet with anybody is I lead with partnership. That means long lasting. That means mutually rewarding. Those are the framework, or that is the framework that I look for in any prospective business venture. I also look for authenticity. And so regardless of the status of celebrity you are you authentic and true to who you represent to be? When I met Snoop, what you see on TV is what you see behind the curtain. That was really, really important. And then what I think is important for everybody else that wants to, you know, whether it's just start a business or partner with somebody that's a creator with profound reach, is to recognize is that, and I think Snoop and Cordell recognize this too, is that everybody's just one piece of this overall component. If I bring what I have to the table, I'm not the full setting. If Snoop and Cordell bring what they have to the table, again, they're not the full setting. And Cordell's referenced that. Together, we make a full team. And that true recognition and acknowledgement on both sides is super important in how this thing gets from an idea to a product on shelf.
Love that. All right. Well, you can find Dr. Bombay at Walmart, 7-Eleven, and more places to come. I know there are more exciting announcements for this brand to come. Sam Rockwell, Cordell brought us. This has been so fun. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jason.